So I just want you to just bow your heads right now. Say, Lord Jesus, there is a better way. There's a higher way. And we need to go higher. And if we haven't got a throne yet, we need one. And you've already prepared one. It's at the right hand of the Father. Where the bridegroom sits. And we can go. To that place, by faith, every day, in Jesus' name, we pray. I asked the Holy Spirit this morning what he wanted. And immediately, it didn't hesitate. You know, sometimes I have a war. And this week, there was a word that came through a gentleman, and I'm not going to go into the details of who and how and why. But he pointed out that there were times God does not allow him to prepare anymore. And so he questioned the Lord. He says, well, you know, why are you not allowing me to prepare? Because he says, out of preparation comes the wisdom of the soul. Out of preparation comes the natural mind and the natural understanding of the word. But if you want to really obey me, said the Lord, preach out of the river that's in you. Yeah. Preach out of the river that is already in you. Because the word says that the river of living water is where? And it's flowing out of us. And I have a young lady that just confessed that her mouth responded. Joe's mouth responded this week. John's mouth responded this day. So did Ann. So did Gail. So did the newest grandmother on the block. And many associates have done the same. Why? Because out of you shall flow rivers. And what kind of river is it? It's a river of love. It's not a river of criticalness. It's not a river of fault finding. It's not a river of ifs. If I do it all the way that I want, then I'll get godly results. And I'll be honest with you, turning us around is quite a job for the Lord, but he's more stubborn and tenacious than you ever thought of being. Because he's put up with the darkness for how many hundreds and thousands of years? So the Holy Spirit knows every trick in the book. And you think you can do it without him? Good luck. Good luck for those who think they can do it on their own. Because all you're going to create is... Go ahead, John. What is it you're going to create?
Confusion.
Confusion, right. And strong delusion will be right there to pick you up and take you for a ride. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 31, the very last verse. If you study chapter 12, you'll see a lot of things about what God wants to do through the body of Christ. But verse 31 says, earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best, the higher gifts, and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far, and the highest of them all, love. The highest of them all, love. When I was brought up, I had an understanding of love. It was all the carnal things that make me feel good. So I operated in that level, just like every one of you. But love, from God's perspective, does not have a critical bone in him. Love in operation goes to the woman that's had 5 husbands, living with a boyfriend, and says to her at the well, "You need living water." There's not a critical bone in him. Why? Why doesn't he correct her? Why doesn't he adjust her and straighten her out and give her a swift kick where it hurts? Because she's broken. Those logs that come through that door are going to need love, not criticals, not criticism, not fault finding. You know why? Because the religious realm have done enough of that, and it's destroyed the word Christianity. Brought it to full confusion. Everybody that says, "Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I got to be perfect because now he's a Christian." And they expect you to be perfect, and all you are is maybe a leftover log that's bounced around for quite a while, and you might not have any leaves on you yet. So you may not look that great and identify as a living tree of life, but you are a believer. And when you get grounded in the word instead of your opinion of men and women, you'll start doing the job that Jesus did, to love the broken. He went out of his way to get a person that had totally demonic activity going through him, where even chains could not hold him. Running around the cemetery with nothing on. Would you and I go and take a look at that person if we saw them running through the cemetery, or would we run the other way? What kind of love have you got? It's true. How critical would you be on your cell phone? Oh, call 911. There's a yo-yo out there. You hear me? Yeah. But if the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to go minister to that one," whoa, what kind of faith is that going to need? If there's doubts and faith in now, in the little things you do, what would you do then? Having a challenge this past couple of weeks, looking at the carnal nature pushing my buttons over and over and over, till the point of, "I'm totally disgusted, Lord. What do you want me to do?" He said, "Do you see it more clearly than ever before?" Oh my God. And of course, it's that throne. And I know. Yep. And I said, "God, I'd like to tear it up and give it a swift kick." And he says, "You can't, can you?" Could the woman at the well change herself? No. Everybody in town talked about her. The demoniac, no problem. Everybody in town knew about him. Would you and I choose those two individuals to become the evangelists of tomorrow? You got to admit, he chose the weirdest people to minister the gift of love to those that were even more broken than them. Why does he choose the weird? I think he's doing it to baffle your brain, baffle your mind, baffle your thought patterns. He so wants to love those that are broken, and the church says they're not allowed. Because they're not acceptable. They have a reputation. They just came out of an insane asylum. My mother was in and out of insane asylums for 17 years. And when the Holy Ghost got a hold of her, she became what? A miracle for many in my family. My wife and I were discussing her background this week when we had company that came to visit Irene. And was a family member that came and was definitely aware of my mother's behavior before and after. Before the miracle and after the miracle. The miracle of her deliverance kept me on the job for many hours, casting out those demons that had destroyed her. I was 37 years old. Did I have any doubts? God gave me grace not to have any. And I cast those demons out in the name of Jesus Christ, without a doubt, claiming her victory over all of those years of hopelessness and desperation. And she came back to life, and you say, well, wait a minute. She says, my mom, she brought me up. Was she in a hopeless situation? Yes, she was. In fact, not only her damage would cause her hopelessness, but I can remember going into the insane asylum in Worcester, Massachusetts. My wife and I had been guarding her in Bay State Medical Center's top floor for weeks because we could not leave her alone. And we had two small children to take care of. And I can just remember my dad, who was totally wiped out, my wife and I are walking down the corridor, and we have a guard with the keys that's going to open up the next level so we could meet with her in a public room. When we got to the door, as she's unlocking the door, she said to my wife, are you the newest patient? So that tells you what kind of condition she must have looked like. So I said, no, we're not looking to put my wife away. We've already got my mother here, but we might be next at the rate we're going. Give or take a few extra words, I don't remember exactly. But what I was getting at is we were whipped. Hopeless with no future. You say, well, how did you manage that? One foot in front of the other. Loving my mother at that point was an impossibility. All I had was fault finding, criticalness, and all the religious garbage that I'd been trained to use. And I call it religious garbage because you're putting demands on someone that's broken. It's like asking a three-year-old to go bake a couple of breads in the oven and not get burnt. Why am I telling you this? Because love had a foundation in me that God put in me to continue to hope where there was no hope left. He continued to give me encouragement periodically. How he did it, only God knows. But I can tell you this, if I had not lived through those days, there are many people today that I would not be able to help. Because those foundations of unconditional love and unconditional support to give when I had nothing left to give, that's the only reason I can be in love with you, John. And you, Joe. Because I've tasted. And I'm not advertising what I tasted. But God's plan was at work. He was teaching me, what? A higher way. Listen again. Earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and the best. The higher gifts with an S. The choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way. One that is better by far and the highest of them all, love. Love comes from your belly. And it holds on to invest in that broken person a way out. Instead of escaping through judgment and criticalness and fault finding. I could read to you in this verse of chapter 13. Love never fails, verse 8. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Verse 7, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person, including the one that's broken. It hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. Love doesn't give up. That's the nature that kept Jesus going towards the cross. Not running from the cross. I know I'm preaching, by the way. Verse 5. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love. God's love in me. Does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Have I got that in me? I've got it in seed form. Look at your neighbor. Say, you've got it too.
You've got it too.
It's the same Holy Ghost.
It's the same Holy Ghost.
Imparted to you. By God's grace.
By God's grace.
Back it up. Verse 4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. Haven't got any of that. Oh, wow. It is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. I remember one of my fits of anger, especially with my mother, who had just had quite a few drinks. She was drinking vodka because nobody could smell it. Okay. She called me and I picked up on not just the phone, I picked up on her being half drunk. So I drove to her house. And I was very angry. And I walked into the house. I said, okay, so you're drinking with your pills again. No arrogance, no pride, right? She comes up to me, and of course she wasn't that tall, but comes up to me and she goes and exhales in front of my face. Was there any anger in me? Oh man, you have no idea. The arrogance and the insult to my intelligence. Man, I was exposed. I was laid bare, and I blew up. Did it do any good?
No, nope, not at all.
I'm sure it didn't. Not anybody drinking.
And I'm not going to go into the details. I'm just going to skip the details, but I can tell you this. When I drove away, I bawled all the way home. I cried all the way home because, you see, the hopelessness of having seen what I acted like. The childish, spoiled brat that wanted his way didn't get anything he wanted. You see, I had tried booze. I could take an 8-ounce glass and I felt nothing. I did. It didn't touch. It didn't touch me.
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Zero. An 8-ounce glass of pure booze. Nothing. It would not even touch me. That's how high strung I was.
Oh.
Okay. When I went to the psychiatrist, he gave me 20 milligrams of Librium every 4 hours, and that would be the only thing that took the chest pains away. So why am I saying this to you? I had to learn to love the unlovely. I had to learn to be compassionate and to be filled with grace. And God's Holy Ghost was needed on my case because I had lived hell. I didn't need to go to hell. I lived it. Yet, I was doing my best to bring up 2 kids, keep a house functioning. At that time, 9 rentals and a business and no help. I love you. When I say no help, my helper was out of commission at the time. She's turning 81 today. Is she my helper now? Last night we had a few moments of love. She said the lady that's in charge has got to do 14 hours straight working because there was no shows. And so she said, do you think you can help me to get myself ready, put my Johnny on, and it was, you know, so that it would be a head start for the young lady that's taking care of her. She said, no problem, dear. So we went into the nice, we have a private room, which is unheard of. I learned now that there's hardly none in the whole building process. And so I helped her to bring a thing of water, and she sat on the throne for a little while, different kind of throne. And we got her cleaned up, and I said, because her feet are so swollen, it's unbelievable. The high moment of the time slot for us was when I put the little basin on the floor with warm, soapy water so she could soak her feet. And I just rubbed her legs, and they're huge. They feel like they're a balloon ready to burst. And then just wiped her, then put cream all the way up over her knees and saying to the Lord, please, we need a miracle. There's no answers, but there was love flowing in. Why? Because there are seasons that you're going to love those that are hurting and don't have answers. There are seasons in your heart that you're going to use something that you've got registered inside of you, and it is that river of love. So close your eyes right now. I don't want you to look at me. Say, Lord Jesus, that river of love is in me.
That river of love is in me.
It needs a spark today.
It needs a spark today.
To be what you've called me to be. A lover of the broken. No matter how bad they're broken. No matter how much they've judged and condemned me. No matter how many times they spit at me. Because
they're angry.
And I'm trying to survive. Right now, Lord Jesus. Let that river of life that's inside of me recaptivate the circumstances with even more love for those that I can't stand or can't figure out. Do a work in me.
Do a work through me.
So they'll see Jesus.
Not dead on a cross.
But fully alive.
In an army of lovers.
That don't judge.
That don't condemn.
That don't find fault.
But just stands. but just stands.
And holds.
Until they become whole.
And full of love.
And full of love.
Like I'm learning to become. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Share some loves and hugs with each other, because that's the only victory that you will never fail in.